Thank you. Thank you. All right. Good morning, church. It's good to see all of you this morning, and I know we have some newcomers or those who are visiting us again. It's been a while. So again, you know, one thing is we always like to encourage people so that you come to Evangel, you're not only going to be loved, you're not only going to be encouraged, but you're going to be inspired to grow. Amen. So are you ready to grow this morning? Amen. All right. So this morning I'm going to be talking about a lasting foundation and structure. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at foundation. I know all of us in Life Group, we've been doing the laying the foundation with Derek Prince, and even for the Sunday classes with Pastor Joseph, the foundations of Christian doctrine by Dr. Kevin Connor. So, but I want to talk about a lasting foundation. Say with me, lasting. Lasting, okay? Because how many of you know that foundations, as good as it is, it doesn't always last, okay? And I will share from a little personal experience about why I've come to that conclusion, okay? And you know, the Apostle Paul talks about finishing our race well. He told Timothy, you know, run the race, I finished the race well. So we need a lasting foundation to ensure that we finish our race well. Say with me, lasting. Lasting, okay? So we want something that lasts. We want a lasting foundation. We want a lasting structure for our life that's going to see us through. How many of you have friends, you know, they were young and passionate during their days, you know, in their teenagers, in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and then somehow maybe when they clock 70 or 80s or even older, you know, they're getting close to the end of their life, and all of a sudden they're so shaken. They're so shaken. You know, I believe God is challenging us to say that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You can have a lasting and solid foundation and structure from beginning all the way till you see Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, you have your Bibles with me. Turn with me to Isaiah 33, verse 5 to 6. And while you're at it, turn with me to Isaiah 28, verse 16. I want you to see it in your Bibles. It will be up on the screen, though. Isaiah 33, verse 5 and 6. And while you're at it, stick your finger in Isaiah chapter 28. And we're going to cover these two verses. You know, I think the theme is really strong, that Christ is a firm and a sure foundation for our life. You can put your hope and your foundation in a lot of things. You can put your identity in so many things, but all the things are going to fade away. All those things are going to crack. The only thing that's going to last is your faith, and your foundation is founded in that solid name of Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what's going to carry you through. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5 to 6 says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion." What is Zion? Zion is where God's presence dwells. When we gather together to encounter the presence of God, we're coming into Zion. He will fill Zion. So right now, we're here now, it's Zion. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be what? A sure foundation for your times. Notice it says it's not a sure foundation for yesterday. It's not a sure foundation for some other time. It's a sure foundation for the time that you live in. And so even in this time that we live in our country, you know, even though there's many weird things going on, there's many unrighteous things going on, even in the midst of those storms, God is a sure foundation for your time. You may be going through a difficult period. Something has shaken you. Maybe there was a personal tragedy, or maybe there's a need that you need met. All those things that are shaking you, but it says, Jesus, God is a sure foundation for your time. Can you say amen to that? A rich storehouse of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. How does Christ become a sure foundation? The fear of the Lord. Are we lacking the fear of the Lord in our life? Are we seeing cracks in our foundation? It could be we're lacking the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 28, verse 16 in your Bible. You can flip that over a few pages back. Isaiah 28, verse 16. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in where? Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. Jesus, the precious cornerstone, is our sure foundation to get us through life. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. New King James Version says, will not be hasty. when our anchor is in Jesus, and I'm not just saying we just say it, when we truly live our life, when our anchor and our hope is in God, we're not going to be so easily shaken. It's not so hasty to go, I need to do this, I need to do that. When something terrible happens, or, you know, something, you know, I'm always I'm all short on breath, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to go, I need to, just stop. Stop. Where is your foundation? Where is your foundation? Is foundation practical? Yes. Foundation is not just something we learn in our head. Foundation is practical. I'm learning that so, so much. It's something we practice. It's not something we just know and study about. So I really hope that as we go through the laying of the foundations with Derek Prince and, you know, Foundation of Christian Doctrine with Dr. Kevin Connor, let it be practical for us, not just head knowledge, all right? He's a sure foundation. Sure foundation. You know, in the last message I shared, I talked about how Moses in the Bible, Moses knew the ways of God, knew the heart of God, while the children of Israel only knew the acts of God. That's why by the time you get to 1 Kings, within the second chapter, children of Israel have already deviated from God. They've already forgot about God. And we don't want to be like that. We want to be like Moses, who knew the ways and knew the heart of God. So every time there's a miracle that happens in your life, every time there's a provision, God is challenging you. Lean in. Lean in. God is trying to reveal another aspect of himself to you, to us. Make a covenant with God. Every time a provision happens, it's not just, thank you, Jesus, I go along my way doing whatever I was planning on doing before. Thank God. The Old Testament way was every time a miracle or provision happened, they made a covenant and a sacrifice to God. Let those miracles and provisions in our life be something that we make a covenant with God. He reveals another aspect of himself to us. Amen? That is practical foundation. Practical foundation. And when we have that relationship with God, our life is not going to be so roller coaster. Up and down, up and down. One day I feel like great, and one day I feel like I'm so close to God. Another day I feel like I'm in the pit of hell. I'm not a Christian. You know, that kind of thing. Just up and down, yo-yo. God doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want to be like how it was in the children of Israel. We can easily point our fingers at them in the Bible and say, oh, they did this and did that. Our life can be so easily like that, up and down, up and down, up and down, because our foundation and our anchor is not firmly in Christ. What foundations are we building our life on? Strip away everything that we have, our possessions, family, whatever we use to identify ourselves with. What are we left? We're left with our faith. We're left with our character. All those things. God can easily strip those things away. It shows, it reveals to us what exactly is our life built on. And there's a good reason why we're studying doctrine right now. Because in doctrine, next slide, we study who we believe, what we believe, and why we believe. Okay, a little pop quiz. Other than your Bible, who we believe, where can you find that? We recite it every Sunday. Someone say it louder. Apostles' Creed, who we believe. Second one, other than your Bible, what we believe. Where can you find that? Same answer. Apostles' Creed, why we believe. Can you find that in the Apostles' Creed? Not really. Why we believe has to come from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit has to work inside of you. You can rack off and start reciting all those things. Who we believe, what we believe. When someone comes and asks you, why do you believe what you believe? Why do we believe what we believe? It has to be this conviction of the Holy Spirit that you can say those words of conviction. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus died for my sins. He was buried, went into hell. He rose again for the third day. He rose again from the dead, and he's coming back for me. I know I'm a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior. Say that with conviction. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. No man, no woman can do that for us. Has to be the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen to that? Amen. And we'll reemphasize, you know, the things we've been saying over the last 3 weeks. You know, Grace talked about it. Brother Dino talked about it. In the next slide. It really is true. I'll reemphasize it again this third week. A person's philosophy determines their, say the bold word with me, determines their belief. A person's belief determines their attitude. A person's attitude determines their Behavior. A person's behavior determines their character, and a person's character determines their destiny. All these things. So it starts off from what we believe, who we believe, and why we believe. All those things determine what our beliefs are going to be. It's going to determine our attitudes, our behavior. And then from there, it's going to come out in our character, the way we act, the way we do things, the way we live life, and that's going to affect our destiny. If my philosophy is always, oh, love, 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 God is love, 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 it'll affect my attitude to hearing correction or having those hard and courageous conversations that no one wants to have. If that's my philosophy, it's going to affect my belief, it's going to come out my attitudes and my behavior, my character, my destiny. If I'm on the other spectrum, tough, 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 everything, you know, suck it in, be tough. Everything, tough, 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 tough. I'll have this behavior that there's no room for the grace of God, that God works even through our weaknesses and mistakes. And there's no room to show mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. Can you see how this all affects? This can really influence the way we take our life. If I'm all about grace of God, grace, 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 don't worry, God will forgive me. I'm calling out my sister's name, she's not here. Grace, grace, grace. Grace. God's grace, God's grace. Using that, I won't see a need to repent. I won't see a need to tell others to repent. Because the fact is, we're all sinners. And we're saved by the grace of God. I'll preach a soft gospel. If my philosophy is just, I just go to church and do good, just go to church and do good, I just go to church on Sunday and just make sure I do good, that's not a bad thing, but if that's all I'm worried about, I won't see a need to grow more in the things of God. It's okay, because I'm going to church every Sunday and I'm trying to do good. You know, that's a good aspect, but if that's all I'm concerned about, I won't see a need. I'll have this behavior and attitude that I won't need to grow more in the things of God. I'll stay just where I am. If I have this attitude of, as long as my walk with God is okay and my world is okay, you know, my family, my business, my work, as long as those things are okay, if I have that kind of belief and philosophy, I won't feel the burden to pray. I won't feel the burden to intercede for our city and our families, to impact my community for Jesus. I won't see a need to come under protection or covering or even accountability. It's okay. You know why? Because my walk is okay. As long as it's my walk. I don't care about yours. As long as my walk is okay. My walk or my circle. Can you see how all of these attitudes, beliefs, and philosophies can really affect our destiny? It can affect the way we can really make an impact together and individually or even in this church for this community for Jesus. It can affect that. It's challenged me a lot. It's challenged me a lot. And I believe God is challenging us on that area. This is why our foundation is so important. So some of us may think that, you know, we've been a Christian for a long time. You know, personally for me, I've been a Christian for maybe 25. How old am I? 30? Sorry, okay. So maybe about 25 years. So I just told you my age. Very cool. So some of the things, you know, like, I've been a Christian for a while. You know, I think my foundation is pretty good. You know, I went to Sunday school. I learned all the Sunday school songs. Don't ask me to recite it to you. But, you know, I did all those things. So my foundation, pretty spot on. I think it's pretty good. So how do we know if our foundation is built well? How do you know if your foundation is built well? How do we know? One thing I've learned is that a good indicator is when there's shakings going on in our life. Grace talked about that, I think, a couple of weeks ago. A shaking's going on in our life. This will actually reveal where our foundation is, what we're putting our hope and what we're putting our trust in. This often reveals how well our foundation has been laid and how much of it is still left. God is showing us what is remaining. Hebrews 12. Go to Hebrews 12, verse 26 to 29. It says, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is created things. So that what can be shaken cannot be shaken. What cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, the kingdom of God in our heart, that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. When God gets a hold of your heart, he sets it a heart and sets it ablaze. And it burns away those things, those temporal things that we may put our faith and our trust into, willingly or unwillingly, knowingly or unknowingly. What have I anchored myself into that I'm trusting? When God sets our heart ablaze, he wants to remove all those things to show what does remain. What does remain? This is similar to what 1 Corinthians 13, 12-16 says, where God will set a fire our foundation to see what remains. God wants us to build a foundation that cannot be easily shaken. And for some of us, maybe we've been Christians for a long time, and that fire that we used to have, we used to carry, it's not as bright as it used to be. Or maybe it's not even there anymore. God wants to set it ablaze. He wants to burn away all those things that we're putting our faith and our trust in that's not going to last, so that we can build on something that's going to carry us into eternity. Amen? Amen? Not in our own works, all right? Are you all still with me? You all still awake? Very cool. And, you know, and I'm really excited because I truly believe in Evangel, in this family, that God is raising up mature men and women, sons and daughters, who've got a firm foundation in who God is. Not just a knowledge, but a firm foundation, a stature within them that's going to carry them through for the rest of their life. So even if it's not there, it's still work in progress, it's okay. Because I can speak and declare that over you. This is what God says about who we are. That this is what we carry. That if we press in and seek in more on God, he's going to build our foundation, build our stature that's going to carry us through for the rest of our life. So we're not going to be so easily shaken. When something happens, when tragedy strikes, when something, you know, terrible happens, we're not going to be shaken. And in fact, because of that, even when your workplace, in your families, in your community, you can be that voice of peace during the time of turmoil, because the fact that you carry the peace of God. So God wants to build that up, not just for yourself. It's not just to bless yourself, but so you can be a blessing to those around you. Maybe those in your family, again, those in your workplace, neighbors, whoever that is, something's happened, something has shaken them. Because you carry the presence of God and you're not easily shaken, you can just say, peace be still. And it's calm. It's not because of some Zen thing or whatever the world tries to tell you. You carry the presence of God. It's something supernatural. Something supernatural. And it's not denying the problem exists. I'm not saying deny the problem exists. I'm saying in the midst of the problem, you can speak hope. You can speak the opposite. You can speak that God reigns in the midst of your situation. Amen? Amen. So Father, I pray and declare that right now over our family here in Evangel, in the name of Jesus, that even that you're raising up sons and daughters, men and women of stature, strategic men and women, even as you place us for such a time as this, that we will create significant moves right now in Jesus' name. So right now, God, I thank you, Lord, for fire, Lord, to rise up within us, Lord, even as you consume us, Father God, and burn away all those things that are not of you, God, so we can be strong. Strong men and women to be a voice and a peace in our community. So even as we speak and declare things, the atmosphere changes over the situation. So we declare that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. You know, recently, about coming to 3 years now, I built my house about almost 3 years ago. And so about this year, as you know, for those who have built new houses before, you have this thing, what you call like cracks, which start happening around the house, you know, little cracks on the cornices or the crevices, especially like in the roof area. And so this year I started noticing quite large cracks, you know, and it wasn't just happening like, you know, like the usual spots, you know, it was actually happening like vertical cracks that were happening. And I thought I was getting a little concerned. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll try patch it up myself. You know, it didn't seem to work very well. Then in my shower, I started noticing cracks that were happening in the grout, you know, and that's not a good thing because that means water can leak through, you know, then, you know, things outside the shower get like, you know, a bit rusty. And so I was thinking, you know, I was looking at the stuff. I was like, maybe I can try fix it or maybe I can leave it. I'm not sure. Do I have enough money? Not too sure about that. And I said, okay, so I went to Bunnings and I thought, oh, maybe I'll look at some product which I can go and try to maybe seal up the cracks myself, you know, try to do it myself as an untrained guy. I'm not like Brother Terrence over there who can, you know, DIY can fix it all. So then I spoke to the lady at Bunnings, and she goes, "How old's your house?" And I'm like, "It's not even 3 years old." And she goes, "I think you need to speak to your builder." I said, "Oh, okay, all right," because I was showing her the cracks on my phone. She was like, I said, "Okay." So I have the cracks, so I'll show you some of the pictures on some of the cracks, and maybe I'll just lower the lights so you can see the wonder and beauty of it. All right, here we go. So I started getting cracks, like, you know, like vertical cracks. Some of these were like 60 centimeters long, and I was getting a little concerned. So this one is in my shower on the left, and there's a crack going from ceiling all the way down. Next slide, Jog. Yep, and so the cracks was actually going through the grout all the way down to the, so that's the tile of the bottom of my shower, and so there was crack down there. And so I think water was actually leaking, and so I got an inspector to come in. He said, "There's so much moisture in that grout, it's actually gone inside." And so you notice that cracks never happen immediately. It needs to settle first. Cracks usually never show at the very beginning. It usually takes time. It takes time, you know. And only a process of time will reveal how good the workmanship was. Anyway, next one. And even in my tiles in my kitchen, there were these hairline cracks that were like going through several of my tiles. And I was just going, "What's going on? What's going on in my house? There's all these cracks happening. Jesus, what are you trying to show me? Are you trying to get me ready for the message? I don't know. You're trying to give me an illustration?" So I called the builder, and the builder came, and he looked at it and goes, "Okay, yeah." He goes, "These are all settling cracks." That's the word they use, settling. Settling. So when a house begins to settle and the foundation starts to set in, and here's the thing I learned. The foundation is only as good as the soil that it sits in. You know, like when you build a house, you have something called grades of soil. And I'm a bit nervous because Uncle Ming is a geoengineer, so I don't want to say anything wrong. So, the foundation, the soil type, you know, you can have A-grade soil, B-grade soil, C-grade soil. And if your grade of soil is lower, they have to spend more money trying to make it right, make it good for house building. So thankfully mine was A-grade soil. Apparently didn't help too much. But okay, I got A-grade soil. But apparently the foundation that you lay is only as good as the soil that it's in, because the soil can actually change over time. And the soil, you know, through chemicals or outside influence, you know, it can actually affect the foundation. So how did I try to fix it? So again, you know, like with the crack that was seen on the wall, I think it was during Christmas last year. I went and, you know, I got my grout and, you know, I started patching up, sanding it down, did nice paint over it. Ah, it looks really good. I'm really proud of myself, you know. I'm like Brother Terrence already. And then 6 months later, the crack shows up again. I said, okay, I'm obviously not Brother Terrence. So... You know, I tried to fix it. So after the inspector came and says, "No, we'll arrange for people to come in." And these are how the builders do it. Next slide. So the builders start off on the left. They remove my shower screen. And then very dramatically, they go and start gutting out all my tiles, smashing it in the shower. You can see the wall is just gone. And they're like just smashing it. Like my poor tiles in the center, it's all smashed up. Like smashing, it's so dramatic, you know. And then they get this like a circular saw, and they start to grill, you know, like lines in the wall so they can put stitches in to stop the wall from actually doing that again. So very dramatic. And the next slide. And then, you know, for the cracks, they get a knife, and they start to make the crack look even worse, like stabbing the wall, like scraping. I'm looking at my wall going, "Oh, my poor wall. This is terrible. You know, look at that. It's worse than before. You know, the tiles, and they want to smash those tiles out. Oh, man. It's not amen. It's oh, man. You know? They gutted out half my shower, smash up the tiles. So the term that they use for the wall, they call it flushing. They want to get all that residue out that's causing the crack, and so they can fill it in with the good stuff. So after all the drama of taking everything out, then they go, okay, now this is the good part. Then... The next slide, then they slowly start laying the tiles again, patching up the wall, relaying the tiles again, you know. I'm happy to say that my shower looks very good now, okay? And it was about 3 weeks worth of work, so it was pretty major for something that was just about a crack. And through it all, I learned some, you know, spiritual lessons that I think I learned from this. As usual, when you go through something, you know, there's like, God does show something to you. First thing I want to talk about, next slide, Jog. Fixing things our own way doesn't really work. I was not trained for it, so I tried to do it my own way. It really doesn't work. You know, it's amazing how sometimes we start to see cracks in our own life, cracks in our foundation, and then we try to fix things our own way instead of asking God. Patch it up here and there, and then what happens? Not just the builder, the master builder. Jesus, the master builder, comes in and says, just stop, stop. Stop trying to fixing up, you're making it worse. Let me show you and let me do it the right way. And just like the dramatic scenes you saw at my shower, God will sometimes rip out everything, get down to the root problem. Oftentimes God gets down to the root issue. You know, when God is trying to work things in our life, are we brave and courageous enough to have those conversations? Have those conversations. What's the root issue? Why am I living in a cycle of defeat? Why is it I can never seem to break out of the cycle I'm in? Are we willing to have those brave conversations? Because God wants to get down to the root issue. We can try fixing it our own way and doing all little things, patching it up, doing our own way, and God's saying, stop, just stop. Let me do it, because my way is a better way. Not only is it efficient, it gets down to the root issue. And really makes it look quite pretty as well. You know, in my shower. Sorry, by the way. How many times did we have a friend or family member where they've come to you and they needed help? I really, really need help. Can you pray for me or something? And then you give them advice, but they don't take it. None of that's happened to you before. It's happened to me many times. Either my friend or a colleague, they're like, I really need help. And like, okay, well, I'll give you some advice. They're like, yeah, I'm not going to take your advice. But I just really needed help. Sometimes we're like that too. We really need help. We want pastors to pray for us. We want our leaders to pray for us. And then when they give us counsel, we're like, yeah. That's okay. I got to figure it out. Are we like that? It's a good challenge for me. It's a really good challenge for me. Doing things our own way. Trying to fix things our own way doesn't work. Number two, recognize the issue. Be quick to repent. I could have chosen to leave the cracks alone. I really could have, because I didn't want to spend any money on it. Thankfully, it was all free by the builder. But I could have chosen to leave the cracks alone. It would have just gotten worse over time. In fact, I didn't realize how bad the cracks were. In fact, in that previous picture, if you saw when they removed the tiles from my shower, I didn't realize the crack wasn't just to the top of the tiles. It was going all the way to the bottom, the crack behind the tiles. I didn't realize how bad the crack actually was. That's the reason why they need to stitch it up. One thing I'm learning is that our breakthrough will come as quick as we repent. Your breakthrough will come as quick as you repent. As quick as you repent, that's the timeline of your breakthrough. That's one thing I'm learning. The quicker I am to repent, the quicker I get my breakthrough. The quicker I get my breakthrough. I hope that's a challenge for all of us today. Our breakthrough will come as quick as we repent. Or else we can keep going through the same cycles, same issues, again and again and again. As Paul describes, ever learning, never arriving to the truth. Same cycle, same cycle, same cycle. God wants to break out of those cycles. Amen? Amen? Amen. Recognize the issue. Be quick to repent. Third one. What's the soil and the condition of our heart? What kind of soil are we building our foundation on? What's the attitude of our heart? Our foundation is only as good as the soil that it's laid in. Like I mentioned before, did you know soil can change over time? I had to read this up to make sure I'm double sure what I'm talking about. Yes, soil can change over time. You know, through external influences, chemicals, whatever that is, soil can change. Erosion. The soil composition can change, and it can actually affect the foundation of the building. It's the same with us. While we're running our race in Christ, if the soil of our heart has changed, what we're building our life on, our foundation on, can start to have cracks in it, because the soil of our heart is not as good as it used to be. In my company, I'm working in an environmental company, we have a remediation team where their job is basically to go out to sites where soil has been contaminated, and they'll take ground samples, water samples, and they will give advice and hire contractors to try to remediate the soil, to restore the soil back to its original, and then they close down the site. Okay? So same thing with our heart. Same thing with our heart. God wants to bring us back to basics. Bring us back to what we had. You know, if our heart, the soil of our heart has changed over the years, let that be a challenge for us this morning. that God is challenging us to change. Challenging us to change. We can have had a great experience before, had an encounter with God years ago. Wow, it was so real. I was crying. I was shaking. You know, I experienced that miraculous deliverance, that provision that God did, that breakthrough. You know, those are all good. Those are really good. And you have to keep talking about those. But if we don't keep working on our salvation, if we're becoming slack in our faith, if we let things in life take our energy and passion, that's not of God. Our heart can begin to change. It really can. Our heart can begin to change. And it usually never happens overnight. Never happens overnight. Watch out for the little things that start to take the passion of God away from your heart, your love away from your heart. What's the soil condition of our hearts? So I really hope that as we're doing the foundation classes, all the great stuff that we're learning from Derek Prince, Kevin Connor, the soil of our heart is good so we can build the right foundation, a foundation that doesn't crack. Amen? Amen. So I'm just going to go through some quick points. Let me just turn the lights on. Just some quick points. So I want to go through some practical stuff. So how do we have a lasting foundation and structure? Say the word lasting with me. Lasting. Okay, I'm going to go through some six things, and then we'll close. Is foundation practical? Yep. Okay, so it's not just knowledge, it's how we live it out. Number one, walk before the work. Walk before the work. What does that mean? That means that our walk with God is vitally important. Even before the work that we do for God. Our walk with God. You know, sometimes we can say a lot of good things, you know, for me, Adrian, I've been doing equipment for how long? Maybe 15, 20 years, you know, I've been doing equipment, setting up, tearing down, I've done ushering, you know, I do hospitality, I've done all these things. We can say that about ourselves. You know, we can say that, you know, God, you can't judge me like this, it's not fair. And, you know, in the book of Revelation, God told the churches, he said, I know your works. So before we start justifying to God and say, but I do all these things, God's like, I know those works already, but yet I still have this thing against you, which is you forgot your first love. Walk before work. Walk before work. And while we've done many work, sometimes we can easily forget the most important work, our relationship with God. Second one, character before competence. So this is practical. Character. What is character? Character is who you are when no one is looking. Character is what you do when no one is looking. Character is what you default to when no one's looking. You know, we can be good at what we do. We can be experts in what we do. But if the character of our heart, our attitude, if it stinks, you know, there's not a whole lot of good stuff we can do. We might be expert in our field. I might be the best IT consultant there ever was. But if my attitude stinks, I'm not very good. I'm not very good. In fact, I know from my company where, you know, if you have a good attitude and you're willing to work hard, we have other people in our company who are very experts, way more experts than me, but my boss has actually listened to stuff that I've said. Stuff like that. Okay, so what I'm saying, not bragging or anything, but I'm trying to say that if you have a good attitude, you know, people are actually willing to listen to you. You actually have a testimony. You actually have a testimony. Character before competence. Third one, substance before strategy. You remember in King David, God brought David through the process before he was king. He was a shepherd for many, 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 many years before he ever became king. God is looking for substance so you know God was preparing David for the palace. Are we willing to pay the price and push through? Just an encouragement, don't ask God to deliver you from your own prayer requests. Sometimes at prayer meeting or whatnot, we pray, God, use us, God, do this, God, do that. And then God actually starts to do it. And then we're like, oh no, God, it's too much, too much. It's too much. Can't handle it, God. Can't handle it. You know? Not discourage you from praying or anything, but, you know, if you pray that prayer, ask God to see it through in your life. Ask God to see it through because God's doing something really good. God's doing something really good. You know, God will always test us. You know, before the blessing, are you going to put God first? After the blessing, are you still going to put God first? Substance before strategy. A passion that's born out of faithfulness. You know, when we come to the end of our time and we stand before God, God's not going to say, well done, good and passionate servant. Passion's a good thing. But what does God say? Well done, good and faithful servant. You're willing to stick it through even when the passion is not really there. Willing to stick it through, and the passion returns. Substance before strategy. Obedience before operation. Sometimes God wants simple obedience. We can have a lot of good things, we can do a lot of good work, but sometimes God just wants simple obedience. You know, if pastors ask you to, or your leaders ask you for a certain thing, or even in your workplace, sometimes, you know, you can tell your boss, oh, I'm doing this, this, and that, and like, boss, like, okay, that's cool. I didn't want you to do that. I just want you to do this. Just do that and do that well. But we're just busy too busy doing other things. Sometimes God just wants simple obedience. This is how foundation is built strong. Is foundation practical? All right. Integrity before initiative. Sometimes we have a lot of good ideas. I know I do. A lot of good ideas. I have a lot of good opinions. I'm full of opinions. Come talk to me later. I'm full of opinions. Talk to me about politics. I'm really full of opinions. But sometimes God wants our integrity first. God wants our integrity first. Are we a keeper of our word? A man and woman of our word? I'm realizing in the workplace, I've been working in the workplace 10 years now, full time, and I'm realizing that it's a rare thing these days to have men and women who actually keep their word. You know, and even leaders are looking for that. So isn't it amazing when they look at Christians in the church and say, wow, that man, that woman, they're a keeper of their word. You know, I didn't give them a great task to do, but they said they'd do it, they do it. Are we a keeper of our word? Leaders trust people who prove themselves over those who know more. I've come to learn that. Integrity before initiative. It makes your testimony powerful. Last one. This is an important one. Worship before witness. You know, sometimes we can be so preoccupied with doing so many things. And God's saying, I just want you to sit at my feet and just worship. Connect with the Holy Spirit. And this is coming from someone like me who does a lot of things. I do a lot of things, you know, a lot of things for the church and outside the church, you know, politics and community events. So I'm doing a lot of things. And the challenge that even pastors challenge me is, so just slow down. I know you got a lot of things to do. Just take some time to worship. Worship. Worship before witness. The power of your testimony. A witness that's born out of your intimacy with God. It's the soil of our heart. So in conclusion, I'd just like to wrap things up. You know, for some of us, maybe we've been Christians for a while, and maybe that fire and that passion maybe is not there anymore. And maybe we start to see cracks in our life, things that we've maybe been through, difficult times that we've been through, and cracks are starting to show. And I believe God is wanting to do some restoration work for us today. I really do believe that. You know, and if a lot of us are putting our hope in religion, that's not it. God is not about religion. He's about relationship. You know, my father came from a Catholic background. And when he was at university, someone challenged him, a Christian from Singapore. God bless the Singaporeans. A Christian from Singapore challenged him and said, you know, you think you know God, but you don't really know God. You think you do. My dad was so upset. He said, how dare you say that? I've gone to the, you know, I did an altar boy. I've served, you know, taking communion. You know, I used to go to mass, you know, very faithfully as a kid. I know God very well. But then when he got back to Malaysia after studying, saw him in Broadmoor Church, and the reality of God became real in his life. That became the journey of his faith. That's why I'm standing here today. You know, for some of you hooking onto religion, I'm telling you it's not the answer. A real encounter with Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus, the hope of the nations. Jesus, that hope that cures every anxiety in your heart, every depression, everything that holds you down, everything that you think that who you are and says, this is my identity. And Jesus comes in and says, no, that is not your identity. You are a child of the living God. Jesus is real. His power is real and his presence is here right now. His presence is here right now. So what I want to do right now, I've asked Pastor Ludwig, I'd like to open this time up. If you feel that you've drifted away from God a bit, the fire is not there as much as it used to be, or you're seeing cracks in your own life and you're realizing, hey, you know what? I think I've drifted a bit. I've been putting my trust, my anchor in external things other than who Jesus is. I'd like to invite all of you to come down. Your breakthrough will come as quick as you repent. As quick as we repent, that is going to be our breakthrough. And I'm not saying this as someone standing here. I'm saying this with you because I'm going to be right here praying with you as well, asking God, for things that I put my trust into. God, forgive me. Jesus, restore the first love. Restore the flame, the passion for you, God. Maybe I've let bitterness and offenses overtake me, and it's clouded my view of seeing who you are and how I treat other people. God, forgive me. Forgive me. God, restore to me first love so that my foundation will be solid, that I won't be shaken. If that's your prayer, I'd like you to come down. Join with me as we pray, as we seek God. We're going to sing this song, Soften My Heart With Oil. Take it away. And soften my heart with... The altar is open. The altar is open. Seek God.
Open my eyes to see.
Fill me.
Fill me with understanding. Soften my heart to receive.
Oh God, don't let my heart.
And don't let my heart be fallow. Don't let my heart be high.
Water me with your spirit.